our reading in Exodus chapter 15. Now, drop back a few verses before the end of our reading earlier and commence with verse 11. This is right after the Lord's deliverance of Israel at the Red Sea, where we were told in verse 30 of the previous chapter that the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Chapter 15 is the song of Moses and the children of Israel. Commence with verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises? That's a very difficult expression to understand, at least certainly in the English. Fearful in praises, what does that mean? And you could probably read several explanations in a commentary. Some say it means that when God is praised, that people should be full of reverence and awe. That He's awesome when we praise Him. When praise emerges from the heart, it's a result of a reverential awe as we consider God's works, His wonders, and His character. But it certainly speaks of a reverential awe there in God's people as they praise Him. Perhaps not referring to the Lord, the Lord's being worthy of fear, but the reaction or the condition of people when they praise Him. So much for the flippancy that so often goes for worship today when people sing. We're to have joy, but we're to have also great reverential awe and fear of the Lord. He's glorious in holiness. He's fearful in praises. He's doing wonders. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, the mighty men of Moab. Trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. So there's a prophecy in this song about the reaction of the Canaanites to what has just taken place regarding the Exodus and the Red Sea. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So we consider today songs and singing as worship of God. We consider that this is a distinct means of approaching the Lord. It's not somehow a convenient idea or invention of man that we sing, that we play musical or instruments that accompany song, but that these are established means of worship that are given to us in God's Word. These are God's ideas. Now we know the musical instruments were invented a long time before this. We read about it early in Genesis. So the Lord made man with a song in his heart, and He made him with skills inherent in him to certainly devise these instruments, but we believe that the idea and the sanction of singing and playing instruments come from the Lord. And this is, I think, the first mention of song other than by Laban, who said to Jacob, "I would have sent thee away with mirth and with songs." Hardly referring to anything godly as far as Laban was concerned, for he was an idolater. So no doubt that he had his own songs, and we have fun, educational, family life kind of songs that are appropriate. Of course, man in his wickedness has devised songs and music that is very inappropriate and ungodly. As far as we can tell, Moses was the first believer that devises or composes a song, but we would certainly guess that he was not the first believer who sang unto the Lord. This was not the first time that a believer exercised this means of approaching God in spirit and in truth. No doubt Abraham had a song in his heart, and don't you think that Joseph sang unto the Lord in his difficulties and when he saw the Lord deliver him in such a mighty way? Song was in the original man. No doubt Adam had a song in his heart, and I suppose that Adam and Eve sang unto the Lord in their times of devotion with him. But I believe that song should be in the heart of the regenerate. Here is certainly a reference, and may I say it's a referral, is it not, to song for the people of God. Over and over again we're told in the book of songs, Psalms, sing unto the Lord. Sometimes we read, sing unto the Lord a new song. And I don't think that that's saying that we should compose new songs necessarily, though we enjoy new songs that are biblical, that are doctrinally correct, and certainly touch the heartstrings of God's people. We have a hymnal, a newer hymnal, called Hymns That Are Modern and Ancient. We have some modern hymns that have been very precious to us, and we'll sing one at the end of the service today as well. We sang one about being born again. These are relatively new. But I think that what it's saying is that we're to sing with freshness, even the ancient songs. How did you sing How Great Thou Art today? Was it just coming from your lips as a robot might sing? You know the words, you know the tune, it's old, it's ancient to you. Or did you sing with freshness about the greatness of God, about the sacrifice of His Son, about His coming in glory? I trust that we come with freshness. The Lord doesn't want the dregs of our devotion. He wants the first fruits. He wants the tithe of our time, the tithe of our emotions, the tithe of our love, the tithe of our choice to seek Him. We're to have fresh love, fresh joy, fresh peace with the Lord, should we not? Fresh faith. And so, can you define song? What is song? Maybe it's one of those things that's better understood than defined. I think there are a lot of synonyms. Even the word music is a translation of the word song or singing in the Bible. Not always, but music is certainly the sound of song, where songs are the words of our songs and our singing. Is it not the outbursts of praise? Harmonious outbursts, if you will. Some of us not so harmonious, but as the Bible says, we make a joyful noise to the Lord. But there, it's noise. There are certainly outbursts of praise. But it's worship. Notice it says that they sang to the Lord. And Miriam and the women sang to the Lord. So they're to be spiritual, they're to be heartfelt, and they're to be scriptural, they're to be truthful. There's nothing in this song that is unscriptural and untruthful. We're to make sure that our songs are heartfelt. We're to worship the Lord, the Bible says, in spirit and in truth. So spiritually and scripturally. So what does it mean in spirit? In the Holy Spirit, certainly, that's involved there. We're to do nothing in the flesh. The Bible says we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you asked the Holy Spirit to fill you today? Have you asked the Holy Spirit to help you sing unto the Lord? And so that there's not a cell in your body that's dictated by the flesh today, that we worship the Lord in the Holy Spirit and in our spirit with devotion, not just with the body, not just with words, but that we worship Him with our hearts, we worship Him with our minds, we worship Him with our souls, with everything that we are. That we're not just singing from the teeth out, so to speak. We certainly worship Him scripturally, as He says. And so when we think about the definition of song, it's certainly different than prayer, it's different, though you can mix the two. I hope you include song in your devotions. Even if you sing silently, it's good for us to include song in our personal devotions. Is it not? To sing songs in our family devotions. To sing songs in our church devotions. This is not just according to plan that we have hymns or psalms or spiritual songs. Now we usually have four. We could have three, we could have five, we could have ten. There are times that we just conclude the service with a lot of singing, like we did at the end of the Lord's table last Lord's Day. Or we could have more in the beginning. Or we could have a lot more time involved in singing. We can certainly ring the changes. But songs should be included in our worship services, because it is a legitimate and commanded means of worship. And it's different. There's variety. Isn't God a God of variety? He doesn't just have one means of worship. You can only pray to me. You can do nothing else when you're worshiping me but pray. Or but preach. There's preaching, there's teaching, there's meditation, isn't there not? Oaths and vows and giving and singing. What other means of worship are there? Meditation, memorization of the Word. These are not just inventions of men. These are revelations of God. These are things that He put in our hearts. These are things that He wants us to include in our worship of Him, where we worship the Lord on purpose. Though we motivate each other, and certainly as we have this in our bulletin, we're encouraging each other to be involved in these means of worship. I hope that we include these same things in our personal and family devotions. Brings variety. And God, as you can see in creation, is a great God of variety, isn't He? Look at the different plants and trees and all the different grasses and butterflies and bees and insects and birds and animals. God's a God of variety. Colors. Can you imagine if there was only black and white? Color isn't significant in the Bible. It was a very colorful tabernacle, wasn't it? Blues and reds and crimsons and different colors that were involved. And it included even the pomegranates, the bells, sounds and sights and scents, all kinds of varieties. God is a God of variety. And just look at us as His people and we see He's a God of variety, isn't He? Height and noses and features and voices. And the Lord wants us to worship Him with variety and the beauty of holiness. Certainly, we see the motivation of singing should come from our hearts. Expressions of love, expressions of joy, expressions of peace. When you think about the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. Now, we can certainly realize, we can certainly believe that all of those fruits what are we going to call those, small fruits? We can certainly yield them unto the Lord. The Lord picks them. But some have said that it's in three divisions. Love and joy and peace particularly have to do with our relationship with God. Long suffering and gentleness kindness and goodness have to do with our relationship with man. And faithfulness, meekness, and temperance have to do with our relationship with ourselves. Now, I think that that's appropriate to have that threefold division, but certainly we can see how kindness might refer to the Lord, but for me to say I'm long-suffering toward God is more blasphemy. So you can see how you can see the threefold division of these fruits, or this fruit of the Spirit. But let's just concentrate on the first three. If love and joy and peace is particularly our dealing with our relationship toward God, how are we singing? Are we singing from love, out of love? Are we singing out of joy? It's not just joy. Yes, rejoice in the Lord says to rejoice in the Lord. It means to enjoy the Lord. It's not, song is not just motivated by joy. It is. There should be joy. A sense of jubilation, a sense of thankfulness. But love should come from our hearts. When they sang this song, what motivated it? Certainly faith. Maybe fear was part of it too. Fearful in praises. I mean, think about this. This song took place very shortly after the death of the Egyptians. It says, then sang Moses. Was it an hour later? Was it the next day? Maybe the next week? We don't know. But it seems because of the juxtaposition of this, of verse 31 and verse 1, and then the then there, it was very shortly after. Well, put yourself there. How fearful the Israelites were as they crossed the sea. Well, they were all saved, just like in the Passover. Whether you were terribly afraid as you saw the congealed walls like jello of water on both sides, and maybe you were being sprayed by the mist. It was dark, at least if the Lord had His fire over them, but remember, it was a wall, there were walls of water, and it was a hallway, as it were, like walking down a long hallway. And it may have been somewhat dark, even though there was the fire to keep them warm over the top. But nonetheless, you're a human being. It's fearful. There's walls and mist. And you know that there's an army racing behind you. And you're trying to get to the other side. And maybe there were some who were saying, are these walls going to cave in before I get to the other side? Or maybe you were like a person that just had tremendous faith at that moment. Look at this. Isn't this amazing? And you were singing and skipping all the way to the other side. Both of you were equally secure. Just like in Egypt, maybe the person couldn't sleep during the night, but somebody slept as sound as a baby. Both of them were equally secure, though both of them didn't feel as secure. And there are some in our midst today, you don't sense the security of your heart. You have doubts about your salvation. And those are experiences that try your faith and that you wrestle with every day, where somebody else is in our service today knows he's saved. Christ is his Lord. He's in union with Christ. We all have struggled with different things. And the assurance of salvation, as we've been learning in Sunday school, is not necessarily part and parcel, certainly when we first get saved. And it's not necessary to go to heaven, have an assurance. Although God wants you to be assured of your salvation, it's Christ that gets us to heaven. But we ought to be singing from hearts full of faith, full of love, full of joy, full of peace. We should motivate our song. We shouldn't just be singing this morning because it's in the bulletin, because it's time to do it. But that we're biting at the bit. Let me sing. I want to sing unto the Lord. I want to sing unto the Lord. He's loved me with an everlasting love. I need this expression from my heart. I need this vent. I just have so much built up joy. I need to express something. It's my joy in song. Remember, the Bible even talks about having peace with God. What does that mean? That we fellowship with God. We have peace. He's not angry with us anymore. That He loves us. That He's reconciled to us. I'm His child. I have peace. He's not my enemy. I'm on His side. He's on my side. Oh, that the Lord would help us. Song can often kill a complaining spirit. Song soothes in sadness and reverses despair. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? It dispels our doubts. It calms our fears. It's a way of expressing our faith and thanksgiving and our love. It's necessary for us to sing. God knew that. He commands us to sing, but we need to sing. And it's not just once a week that we should be singing. God help us to have song in our heart throughout the day in our worship of Him. Freshness when we do sing. A new song. We can sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, with freshness. How great thou art, with freshness. Amazing grace, with freshness. That is the timing of the songs. Then sang Moses. Could we not say that we should sing unto the Lord often, but at any perceived move of God in our lives? Yes, we should be singing daily. We should begin and continue and end the day with the Lord. And certainly, part of that devotion should be singing. But any time, you say, when should I sing? Well, you wake up in the morning, His mercies are new every morning. Isn't it time to sing? We should sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. In the evening, we sing about His sustaining grace throughout the day. When we see His general revelation, can we not sing about His creation? When I think, what is it, in the second verse of what we just sang? When I see the stars, and so on, and the rolling thunder. When there's thunder and lightning, instead of cowering in fear, let us sing about the fact that the God of glory thunders. His special revelation, we sing about His Word. His providence. His salvation, His judgment. The psalmist said, Psalm 101:1, I will sing of mercy, and I will sing of judgment. And here is Moses and the people of Israel singing of mercy, that God had mercy upon the Israelites, but singing of judgment, His judgment upon the Egyptians. We should sing when God gives us answers to prayer. We should sing prayers. And we should certainly admonish one another and sing songs sometimes that admonish us as to particular responses to God's Word. The participants, it wasn't just Moses. It doesn't say then sang Moses. Moses and the children. It's for all of God's people. Leaders should set the pace. Here's Moses singing. It wasn't just then sang the children of Israel. Then sang Moses, but Moses is in the lead. And yes, the elders of our church should take the lead in setting the example of love, joy, and peace. A singing church has singing leaders. Most likely a church will not be a singing and joyful church if its leaders are not singing and joyful leaders. Jesus led the disciples in a hymn before He was arrested. Which one of us can say that we should never have a song in our heart when we're going to face difficult circumstances? Now, it may have been a psalm of very solemn and serious things. But it says they sang a hymn before He went out into the Garden of Gethsemane. At one point He was sorrowful unto death, but at the other, He was setting the example, and I don't think it was just out of the skin of His teeth that He sang, because He had to set an example to His disciples. I wonder what He sang. I wonder what they sang before they left the upper room. About the will of God. About believing that God will help us through our difficulties. About the wisdom of God in choosing our circumstances. Leaders set the pace. But there should be congregational singing. The children of Israel sang, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I hope that when visitors come in, that one thing they note is that these people sing. This church loves the Lord. This church has joy. This church sings from their heart. Oh, they may not be the most melodious. Maybe we are. Maybe we are. But that they can say, you know, that church is like a choir. They sing. They sing out. They're not singing to each other primarily. They're singing to the Lord. What was the special music in this circumstance? There was special music. There was a ladies' choir that took place. Because it tells us that at the end that Miriam, the prophetess, took a timbrel in her hand and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And she answered them. It was the ladies, as it were, that took the lead. There was special music in the wilderness. I enjoy having special music. Maybe our mothers should have a special soon. Our ladies. Here's Miriam, the mothers, and the maids. The three M's. They were singing. They had special music. We haven't had special music in a long time here. Families. I enjoy families that sing together. Couples. Duets. Trios. Quartets. Men, it's time to sing. We need a singing congregation. Of course, there were those that were gifted, especially in singing. We're told in 1 Chronicles 15:16 that the singers with instruments of song or instruments of music were hired and brought to the temple. If God has gifted you with a voice with singing, I hope you use it for His honor and set the pace for us and help us and lead us. Notice its direction. Let's be careful that we worship the Lord when we come here. It's to the Lord, to Jehovah, verses 1 and 21. To whom do you sing? To whom do I sing? We ask that in prayer, don't we? Sometimes when we pray, we're so conscious of each other. Are we really praying to God? We're praying so that others hear us, and you know, I hope they sense that I have intelligent and biblical prayer, but rather that we're so consumed with God's presence. So what if we stumble and stammer? If we're seeking the Lord from our hearts, and we're not so concerned about, oh, what are we going to think about vocabulary? What are we going to think about this and that? But that we're consumed with God's presence. Same way with singing. Yes, we all have equally the same melodious voices. But God says, make a joyful noise unto Him. He'd rather have a heart full of joy making noises than a heart full of unbelief, bitterness, having a melodious voice that issues from that heart. But God wants the heart. Give me your heart. You should sing to the Lord. To whom are we singing today? To whom are we listening? You know, even your listening to His Word is worshiping Him. Hope you're not just listening to me. You know how far that goes if you're just listening to me? It goes as far as the moment you just heard my last word. But then we're on our saying, Lord, You use means. You use preachers. You use those You gifted in this way. Lord, speak to me through this person. I need a word from God today. We worship the Lord. We worship the Lord. The contents. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthiness of the Lord. He is highly exalted, Moses said. The worthiness of God should be the content of our singing. The works of the Lord. His exodus of the people, the Red Sea, the creation of the world, the flood, Canaan, heaven and hell, His salvation, His judgment, the works of God, as we read of Moses saying, who is a God like unto thee? His person, His attributes, glorious in holiness. And the reaction of sensing the presence of God, fearful in praises, His works, He does wonders. Not just that He did wonders, He's doing wonders. He's still saving people. He's growing our souls. He's protecting us from our enemies. He's forgiving our sins. He's healing our diseases. He's doing wonders. So we sing of His worthiness, of His works, of His qualities, of His omnipotence. He is our strength. The chariots He has thrown into the sea. The walls of water congealed like jello. He blew His wind and it caused the walls of water to collapse upon the Egyptians. What power our God has. What wisdom. What goodness. What grace. Moses and the people said, He's my Father's God. That speaks of His eternity. Our God was in the days of our forefathers, in the days of our ancestors, and He will be, if God tarries, the days of our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. He is the God of eternity. He's also the God of wrath. You send forth Your wrath and destroy them. He's the incomparable God. There's none like unto Him. Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. He's our Redeemer, our Shepherd, and our Judge. There's more than enough content for our songs. The effect, certainly contagious. After Moses and the children of Israel sang, it inspired the women to sing. Notice that it was contagious. Then Miriam took the timbre in her hand. As if when the song finished, she thought, let's sing some more. Let's keep singing. Tell you what, it is contagious. A joyful person encourages joy. Notice at work. Notice in the home when somebody complains, when somebody gripes. Remember the Israelites. Right after this, when you talk about dousing the flame. I mean, right after this, on the heels of their joy, on the heels of a great work of God, we read that there was no water. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? How quickly we can turn, can't we? Have a blessed time of joy, but beware to guard what God has wrought in our hearts this morning. Beware that we don't leave this place and start to grumble about this and grumble about that. Where joy should put the dowels upon the flame of complaint. The joy of the Lord, the Bible says, is your strength, should awaken us. Awake, awake, utter a song, Judges 5:12. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it. That is, many will sense my joy and fear and trust in the Lord. See, it's contagious. It's effective. There are expressions of joy that make impressions upon the heart. Oh, God, will help us to fill our hearts and our homes and our church with song. It's going to be tested, as I said. This verses 22 and following. Their joy was tested. Is our song short-lived? Does it last as long as the worship service? What if we leave this place and there's something lacking that we sense? No water, no food. Missing this, missing that. Are we going to focus on that when God has already shown us that He can cause the Red Sea to part? He can cause a nation of slaves to be freed. He can hurl an army of Egyptians into the Red Sea. He can turn stones into bread if He wanted. He can bring bread from heaven, and He can bring meat from miles away. Let us trust our God. Let us not let the devil douse the flame of our trust and our joy in the Lord. What does it take to extinguish our joy and our love and our faith and our peace? Does it take one little trial? Isn't it so? One little trial can set us on edge. We go outside this morning and there's a flat tire. That set us on edge. We get home and somebody ran over our mailbox. Well, that set us on edge. We forgot to get the mail yesterday and we are set on edge by some letter, some bill. Therefore, pray before we open the mailbox. Pray before we answer the telephone. Pray, pray, and pray. Have we considered the works of God today? When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Have we chosen to love the Lord, to rejoice in him, and to fellowship with him and have peace with him? Rejoicing in the Lord is a command, a necessity, and it's a choice. Let us all choose to rejoice in him. Let us not sing only because it's in the bulletin. Let us come singing to church. Let us awake singing to the Lord. Let us begin and continue and end our days with God. How is it with you? What causes your heart to rejoice? Just things? Things that are going to rust? Things that are going to burn up? Reputation that's as long as perhaps the day? Or with the God of glory who is eternal and unchangeable, all-powerful and all-loving? Whom have I in heaven but thee? There's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Delight thyself in the Lord. He will give thee that the joy of thy heart. He will give thee the pleasures of your heart. Sing to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Preach the Lord. Evangelize the Lord. Give to the Lord. Meditate to the Lord. Memorize for the Lord. He deserves the glory. Singing is worshiping the Lord.